Bunker, right here in North Central Indiana, transmitting to the world.
Resistance Radio calling. White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. This is White Aryan Resistance, and this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, right here in the bunker, right here in North Central Indiana, where the snow is still out there, man. But I was right. I just heard a forecast coming in this morning on my crystal radio set that I get radio stations from all over the Middle West, because I got a long wire antenna. They said it looks like this winter is going to break pretty soon, maybe in a week or two. It's going to go up into the 40s. And I told you, when I saw those robins, three big fat robins sitting on a fence post, I said, spring is almost here. It's going to break soon, because robins just don't stick around long in the real cold weather. So there you go. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And it's time to get your donations for the radio show in, and some of you have already done that. And that's good. because then we'll turn around and use that money for not only POWs but for equipment and so forth for the radio station. And so you know now we've got the streaming program on the website, so you can listen to the streaming of the radio shows out of the archives all day and all night long, according to what my webmaster tells me. So there you go. Tell all your friends. They can go. There's hundreds of shows up there, I think. Yeah, there used to be, anyhow. Also, I gave you the wrong thing yesterday, which you probably figured out. We've eliminated the one phone line, the national phone line, and gone back to the freebie version. Yeah. 641-715-3800. And then you put in the code, which is 56890#. I told you star yesterday. It's pound. 641-715-3800. Code 56890#. And also, I've been putting out quite a bit of stuff on Twitter. I'm not sure how that works, but I think you can find me up there. And if you can find me, I'm putting announcements out there every day, maybe two or three, like getting ready for the big squaring off in Chicago. Yeah, between the black race and the mestizo race, sort of race, not totally a race, but anyhow, they're gonna have a runoff for mayor up there. Now that they got the white man out of the way, they're gonna go at each other, and I'm hoping it's real hot on voting day, because there's nothing to get the black Africans steamed up and the mestizo steamed up like hot weather and beer. I'm going to be asking some of our very, very rich friends to send a few semis full of beer on the day of the election in Chicago to hand out. About, you know, you got to stay away from about two blocks from the voting booth. We'll have them stay about two or three blocks away there and hand out free beer. How about that? Hey, Nitwit's coming tomorrow. He did a big thing on APAC this morning. Typical saber-rattling shit. What a hawk this guy Nitwit is. Well, sure, as long as he knows he's got the U.S. in his following around in his wake. They blow off and threaten everybody and threaten Iran. And then there's a rumor out that Obama told him, you better not fly over there to Iran, and we're going to knock your planes out of the air. That happened a few years back, too. A lot of people forgot about that. Do you think that the U.S. government has the guts to shoot down two planes? I don't know. Maybe. Because, look, at APEC there was only 14,000 people there, according to what they said on the TV. Well, that's just a pissy-ass small group of Jews in this country. And there's Jews coming out against them, too. And so I think the Republican Property Party, the Capitalist Party, is taking a big gamble here by kissing the ass even more and more of Israel and the Jews, because there's a hell of a lot of Jews in this country not going to vote, not going to go that way, because they don't like Netanyahu, Nitwit, and he's saying something else. The way he's got his hair combed, if he pushed it a little forward, he might be mistaken for Uncle Adolf, but he's too bald, it goes clear back up on his head. Yeah. And old Nitwick, he goes on and on about Iran. Iran, boy, he's going to try to get us, and they're never going to get us Jews again, all that kind of stuff. All that saber-rattling. if they just leave Iran in peace. I haven't heard of Iran invading anybody, but their big war with Iraq years ago. Remember, both sides lost 1 million men. In the way we've tore up the country, I doubt whether there's many. How many people are left? We keep knocking them off by the hundreds of thousands and millions. Jeez, maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the way they'll kill the birth rate over there. Get rid of all them people. Well, I see another white boy in the ring just trounced another Negro boy. That's getting to be pretty regular nowadays. Well, that's good. If white boys get hungry enough, they'll do the job. That's the way the boxing used to be. Those white boys were hungry, and it was, you know, back in the Depression, man. He said, well, I don't have a job, so I'm going to go in the ring and beat somebody's brains out and get some money. You know, this Secretary of State, John Kerry, I'll tell you, he's always on there. Doesn't he look like a cadaver? I'm going to look at him right now on my monitor. He looks like a cadaver, the walking dead man. And he's always up there making all these threats against everybody. And Iran better do this, and Iran better do that. You know, what would thrill me, and I think wise people up a little bit, anytime a politician wants to pontificate on TV, make him take his clothes off, stand there naked. And that'd be the funniest show on earth. Yeah, and imagine John Kerry and Obama and all these guys naked, and Boehner naked. That's the way to bring this thing around into a different way of looking at things. Yeah, that's true. I was digging around in the backyard. I came up with these ancient scrolls. Yeah, this one's about talking about Mary and Joseph. I thought it was pretty interesting. Mary says, Joe, we're going to have a baby. Joseph says, what? That's impossible. All I ever do is put it between your thighs. Mary says, well, I don't know. Something must have gone wrong. Joseph says, who says you're pregnant? Mary says, an angel appeared to me in the backyard and said so. Joseph says, an angel? Mary says, an angel of God. His name was Gabriel. He had a trumpet, and he appeared to me in the backyard. Joseph said, he what? Mary said, he appeared to me. Joseph, was he naked? Mary, no, I think he had on a raincoat. I don't really know. He was glowing so brightly. Huh. Got to roll the scroll out here a little bit. There we go. Joseph says, Mary, you're under a lot of stress. Why don't you just take a few days off from the shop? The accounts can wait. Mary says, I'm telling you, Joseph, this angel Gabriel said God wanted me to have his baby. Joseph, did you ask for some sort of sign? Mary, of course I did. He said tomorrow morning I'd start getting sick. Joseph said, but why should God want a kid? Mary says, well, Gabriel said that according to Luke, it's kind of an ego thing. Plus, he promised the Jews a long time ago. It's just that he never got around to it. But now that he feels ready for children, he doesn't want to just make them out of clay or dust. He wants to get humans involved. Joseph says, well, is he going to help toward the raising of the kid? God knows we can't do it alone. I could use a bigger shop. Maybe you could throw a couple of those nice crucifix contracts my way. The Romans are nailing up everything that walks. Mary says, honey, Gabriel said not to worry. The kid would be a real winner. A public speaker good with miracles. Joseph says, well, that's a relief. Anyway, I guess now that you're officially pregnant, I can start putting it inside you. Mary says, "I'm sorry, honey. God wants it to be strictly a virgin birth." Joseph says, "I don't get it." Mary, "That's right, Joe." Joseph says, "Don't I get to do anything?" Mary says, "He wants you to come up with the name for the kid." Joseph says, "Jesus Christ." Mary says, "Joe, you're so heavy." And that comes from the Holy Scrolls of the Church of What's Happening Now, right here in my bunker. Hey, is there any building still standing in the Middle East? Every time I see a TV broadcast from the Middle East, it's nothing but rubble. I mean, Gaza, I don't think has a building standing. And they won't let them ship concrete in there or anything to rebuild them. So what the hell are the people doing? Sleeping out there under the rocks or something? But everywhere is... the war's been going on and on and on forever, and there's no buildings. It's all knocked down. Maybe a wall standing here or there, but... what the hell, man? You think starvation and disease and that nuclear crap is going to clear out the... Maybe that was the idea. Kill everybody in the Middle East and just get the oil. That seems to be what the plan was. I hope you know that the celebration of Purim by these Jews is a celebration of genocide of the Persian people back in the old days, on the excuse that they thought that the king was plotting to get the Jews and give them their comeuppance. Well, the reason I'm saying that is because on Israeli news or in their ads, they got kids dressing up in like Halloween costumes to celebrate the genocide of the Persians. Well, I wonder, maybe we should have started getting everybody together and dressing them up like Halloween for Kristallnacht. I think that, wouldn't that be sort of close? Yeah, right. Put on your Halloween stuff, kid. It's Kristallnacht. I made a comment on an Israeli website this morning. They were going on and on about how everybody else bullies. Whoops, wait a minute here. How Israel does not bully. I said Israel doesn't have to bully as long as the U.S. does their bullying for them. Well, I had a hot time in the old town in L.A. yesterday, Sunday. No, wait, this is, yeah, yesterday. The cop KKK went into action. Yeah, man. You want to listen to it? Okay. Shot that nigga! Cop KKK!
Motherfucker! Motherfucker! They just killed that man! Just shot that motherfucking man like that! And it's 9 motherfucking police out there! God damn it! Ain't nobody got no fucking gun. But I'm gonna record this shit. Yeah. Ain't nobody got no motherfucking gun. Yeah. Ain't nobody. They just shot that man right here, man. Just shot that motherfucking man right here. Yeah. Just shot that man right here, man. Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna record all this shit. Yeah. That's fucked up.
Nope. We are back. We're not on country.
That man is dead now. That man is dead.
You guys are coward, motherfucker.
That man is dead, man.
You coward. You coward, motherfucker.
That man is fucking dead.
You coward, motherfucker.
You got him. Six motherfucking police on him. Yeah. Six motherfucking police. Goddamn right. You know what I'm saying? Six motherfucking police. You just killed this man. You know what I'm saying?
That nigga Bob is dead.
That's the one that killed him right there.
Yeah, that was right there.
The black motherfucker killed
him. Yeah, the black motherfucker killed
him. The black motherfucker killed him. You heard him. The black motherfucker killed him right there. Yeah. Goddamn right. That bullshit.
Cop KKK on the rise.
He killed him.
Let me point out why you said he killed him. Huh?
Like a black cop killed him, man.
Can you back up? Can you back up?
Fuck that.
He's part of the black KKK.
You ain't got another motherfucking black cop.
Motherfucking sellout. Black KKK and white KKK cops are working together, man.
Take the pistols off. Take the gun off, motherfucker. Tough-ass bitch.
Yeah, get it.
They got a man laying down there. Motherfucker.
Yeah, he is.
Killed this motherfucker.
Oh, man. Ain't fair. Ain't right. Oh, boy.
Well, there you go. I told you. The real KKK retired a long time ago. Now it is the cop KKK. Yeah, and the black KKK, and sometimes even a black KKK cop will kill a black man. Boy, it's getting interesting out there. Yeah, man. I think these white KKK cops are getting too nervous with the service, man. Too much coffee at the donut shop, man. They get all jittery and their trigger finger gets itchy. Well, I'm going to send you along the raw footage. I think you can download it. I'll send it to you. And you can see with your own eyes the KKK cops in action, man. Boy. Well, let's see what John Oliver, the comedian, says about all this infrastructure collapse. What the hell's wrong with that? Yeah, okay. All right. Wait a minute. If I leave my speech to print on, it screws up everything. Anyhow, here we go with John Oliver, man.
And or saved by Bruce.
Well.
Infrastructure. It's our roads, bridges, dams, levees, airports, power grids, basically anything that can be destroyed in an action movie.
Get out of there!
Oh, man. Excuse me, and I ain't afraid of nothing.
Holy shit! If an alien species judged humanity by our most popular movies, they'd think we were furious with asphalt all the time. The problem is, though, when our infrastructure is not being destroyed by robots and or saved by Bruce Willis, we tend to find it a bit boring.
As you know, infrastructure is not a sexy or glamorous topic.
As much as I'd like to think otherwise, infrastructure is not sexy.
Infrastructure is not very sexy.
Yes, infrastructure, like those men we just heard from, is important but not sexy. Although, to be fair, that may just be because Hollywood promotes unrealistic standards of infrastructure beauty. That's not what a real road looks like. Real roads have curves. So most people think infrastructure is boring. They think it's boring. But is it? Because I'd argue that it's actually pretty fascinating. And I know that in saying that, I've basically become the rad youth counsellor trying to convince you that Jesus was the Taylor Swift of his time. Revelations is a breakup song to the Romans, guys. Who wants another Mountain Dew? Catch. So let's talk about infrastructure tonight. And let's begin with dams. Because dams are amazing. They're the most powerful device we have for holding back liquid, aside from the idea of using a porta potty. I'll just wait forever. I cannot go in there. America used to love dams.
Grand Coulee Dam in Washington State, the world's biggest concrete structure.
Boulder Dam stands today, a modern colossus.
The walls of the new dam tower into the sky like mighty modern pyramids.
Yes, and we built those dams with ingenuity and brawn and, of course, piles and piles of dead Irish. Of course we did. They're good workers and their corpses make a solid foundation material. That's an architectural fact. But these days, America's once great dam system is in a state of serious disrepair.
The average age of the country's 84,000 dams is 52 years, and many of them have problems that stem from when they were first built.
Yes, much like most Botox recipients and competitive cloggers, the average dam is 52 years old and probably has something deeply broken inside of it. You would think a statistic like that would terrify people into action, but amazingly, many states are paying virtually no attention to their dam problems.
In 2007, the last year for which statistics are available, Texas had just 7 inspectors responsible for 7,400 dams. That's over 1,050 dams per inspector. The state was only able to look at 239 dams. Alabama doesn't even have an inspection agency to monitor its 2,000 plus dams.
Zero inspectors. That means that the state of Alabama has exactly the same number of dam inspectors as the band Alabama. And it's not just dams. We're currently doing a terrible job of maintaining all of our infrastructure.
The nation's infrastructure of bridges, roads, and pipelines is sorely in need of renovation.
Collectively, they get nothing more than a D plus.
A D plus? Think about that. America got the same grade that a 10th grade teacher gives a nightmare kid so she doesn't have to deal with him for another year. No, Landon, we're not calculating the surface area of our penises. Just give him a D plus and say he has family troubles. I cannot even deal with that shit again. And look, to be fair, that D plus grade came from the American Society of Civil Engineers, who would clearly benefit from more infrastructure spending. So it's a bit like having the state of our nation's tennis ball assessed by the American Society of Golden Retrievers. They're dangerously underthrown. This must change. We've been such good dogs. Such good dogs. But other studies have also found our infrastructure is lacking. The World Economic Forum ranks America 16th in the world, and we need to be better. Because when infrastructure fails, bad things happen. Like last year when a pipe burst and flooded the campus of UCLA.
A water main break in West Los Angeles turned the UCLA campus into a river. Students walked through ankle-deep water, or in some cases, tried to have fun with the situation.
I've been chilling here for like 20 minutes trying to get the best view. Yeah, I just came from the gym. I got kicked out, you know, because of the flood, so.
It looks insane. Like, there's so much water.
It's like, I've never seen so much water. Except for, like, lakes, I guess. And when infrastructure is damaged, it's not just incredibly expensive. It can also be lethal. From the big stuff like bridge collapses and dam failures to the little stuff like potholes.
Gone at 53 years old, Ao Lee slammed his bike into a pothole riding along Grizzly Peak Boulevard in Oakland. His wife, Nancy, says a car then hit him head on.
Roadways need to be paved. That's why we have infrastructure. That's why we pay our taxes.
That's horrifying. But the problem is, we only ever seem to talk about infrastructure when something tragic like that happens. And the scale of this problem is scary.
He was an immigrant.
The Secretary of Transportation points out.
According to the government, there's 70,000 bridges that have been deemed structurally deficient.
Yep.
What does that mean?
It means that there are bridges that need to be really either replaced or repaired in a very dramatic way.
They're dangerous.
I don't want to say they're unsafe, but they're dangerous.
Hold on. When we're at a point where the Secretary of Transportation is struggling to decide between using the word unsafe and the word dangerous, we might have a problem worth fixing. And if you want a glimpse into how close to catastrophe we occasionally are, take this story from Philadelphia.
In 2008, two contractors from the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation stopped to get a sausage sandwich and parked their cars under this bridge.
Unfortunately, they wanted that sausage sandwich because they saw one of these piers with an 8-foot gash in it about 5 inches wide.
And if they hadn't wanted a sausage sandwich?
There's a strong likelihood that bridge would have collapsed.
So there might have been a disaster if those Philly contractors hadn't wanted to stop for a sausage sandwich, which means we were fine, we were always going to be fine. But the scary thing is, what if the next crack pillar in Philadelphia is next to a vegan smoothie stand? The bridge is going down and people are going to die. And it's not just Philadelphia. Look at Pittsburgh, the city of bridges, and its solution to one that was dangerously deteriorating.
One of these arch bridges actually has a structure built under it to catch falling debt. See that structure underneath it? They actually built that to catch any of the falling concrete so it wouldn't hit traffic underneath it.
They built a bridge under the bridge. That is a college sophomore approach to structural engineering. Yeah, the trash was overflowing, so I just started putting it in the microwave. Problem solved. I'm a legend. And there are dangerous bridges everywhere. Here in New York, the Tappan Zee Bridge is so notoriously shaky, one government official in charge of fixing it called it a hold-your-breath bridge. And the only time we should ever talk about hold-your-breath bridges would be if, for some reason, Bo Bridges were into autoerotic asphyxiation and you were trying to remember which one he was. Is he the normal Bridges or is he the hold-your-breath Bridges? It's important that I know this. The facts about the Tappan Zee Bridge are frightening enough, and yet the History Channel felt the need to produce a terrifyingly CGI-filled account of the worst-case scenario.
Some of the Tappan Zee's foundations are at risk, and this is what could happen if they eventually gave way.
Okay. One, that's very frightening. But two, why did the director assume we'd all had such a strong emotional attachment to the coffee cup? A fucking bridge just collapsed. At this point, we aren't just flirting with disaster. We're rounding third base and asking if disaster has any condoms. And the crazy thing is, ask any politician from either side and they'll tell you that infrastructure is incredibly important. Everyone agrees on this. In fact, at a recent hearing, both business and labor, in the form of the US Chamber of Commerce and the AFL-CIO, turned out to support infrastructure spending. And even they know how rare that is.
If business and labor can come before you united on this issue, and we are united on this issue, despite our sharp disagreements on a variety of other matters, I think that should tell everybody something and tell them very loudly.
He's right. The last time business and labor agreed on an issue, it was the issue of how dead should Jimmy Hoffa be. They both agreed, pretty dead.
There's more to this, but you get the point. Sometimes comedy could be very important way of getting a message across, but do you hear anybody saying, well, this next year let's not have a military budget? Let's not spend or give these drunken weapons manufacturers a $700 or $800 billion. Let's take that $700 or $800 billion and fix up some bridges. Or we're not going to give all this armament to all these countries around the world, not just Israel, all of them. And we're going to have to hold off on foreign aid for a year. Now, you add up the foreign aid for a year and the cost of all the weapons we're giving people around the world, and take that military, that war budget, and put it in all that in a fund and start working on the infrastructure. It's quite simple. But you'll not hear one of these sons of bitches in Washington, well, you will, a few, talk about the infrastructure in relation to the war budget. So they're liars, they're hypocrites, and technically deserve to be either sent off to, maybe we can rent some property in Siberia from Putin and take care of the problem. But it's so ridiculous, and it's so hypocritical, it's beyond hypocrisy. Well, we've got a guy that's arguing all the time with the creationists about religiosity and evolution and all that. And he does a pretty good job in some ways, but now he's gone off the deep end. In a video embedded below, Bill, the science guy, Nye, wrote with real time with Bill Maher's producer, Miles Leaker, about the new edition of his book, Undeniable: Evolution and the Science of Creation, which will be out this fall. Just a minute here. During the discussion, Nye aired his views on race, which he said is an artificial, human-made construct that has no basis in science. You see where this is going. In a very important sense, said Nye, racial distinctions are meaningless, and racism is inappropriate. And I'll show you why, and you can run your own test yourself. Over and over they try this stuff. Take a person like Leaker, who is of European descent, Nye said. Quote, if you were to have sex with a woman in China, southern China, western China, all you're going to get is a human. Right, said Leaker. The only thing that's going to come out is a human, Nye said. That's because we're all one species. We're all one race. Yeah. Brave new world. The only difference is the color of our skin. Well, how did that happen? He said, and comes from how close your ancestors lived to the equator or at high altitudes like the Tibetans. Are you kidding? That's like the lampshades argument about World War II and the Jews. That is bullshit. You don't have different skin deep down because of where you live and according to the sun and all that kind of shit. A white man, he can get suntan or sunburn, but then he can go back out of the sun and he'll be white again. There have always been tribes, Nye continued. Well, that's true. But what we have to appreciate now is that we live in a global community. No, we don't have to appreciate. You don't even have to like it. And are things better in this global community or worse? And tribal loyalties, they're not relevant to our future. Oh, you're going to see about that. You're going to see about that. No, Mr. Nye, you did a good job of debating with the fundamentalist Christians, but now you've gone beyond the pale. Denying race, denying tribalism, deny even how people get different colors. Why, hell yes. How about all those albinos up there, those albino Eskimos at the North Pole that are white? Haven't you heard? Oh, they're not white? Well, they've been there a hell of a long time. Why aren't they white? To show you how much these white conservatives, the New America people, getting together in their get-together, listen to this. CPAC saved
before Saturday morning one of its rising stars, a 22-year-old South Dakota TV host, Tommy Lahren, blonde, blue-eyed, milk-white skin, who spent part of her speech addressing complaints about the lack of diversity on America's right. Lahren acknowledged that most millennial voters, who are between 18 and 33 years old, lean left politically on social issues. But she wanted to reassure the folks at CPAC that not everyone in their 20s was a liberal Democrat in the making, but rather then described what she said, it's probably best just to let her speak for herself. Here's what she said. According to those on the outside, we are a party of old, rich, white males. But I have a little bit of a problem with that because I don't really fit into the narrow box. Let's see. I'm 22 years old, and rich, which almost makes me laugh out loud. I grew up in South Dakota, so that's smack dab in the middle class in America. And white, okay, you got me there. But unlike my friends on the left, I'm not going to stand up here and apologize for being white. That's good, because I am what I am, and I'm sorry you can keep your white guilt. And last, male. The so-called war on women is somewhat problematic for someone like me because last time I checked, I don't hate myself and I'm not at war with myself. Ladies, can we agree on that, anyone? See, women like Sandra Fluke will have you believe that the only way to be pro-woman is to lobby for free birth control. But sorry, hon, I'm a Republican and I can take my care of myself. And besides, I don't know about you, but I don't really want the government anywhere near my body or my health choices. Because have any of you seen how Obamacare or healthcare.dude has been working out? Well, whether you realize it or not, you do have lots of government-created programs long before Obamacare. So I think we're going through this. Old, rich, white males, I want to remind you. Let's look at the top three Democrats in 2016. You got old, white Hillary, old, white Elizabeth Warren, and you got Joe Biden. Old, rich, white, and if the pants suits fits, male too. I don't know. It's an interesting lineup. What do you guys think? So much for the Property Party and their hypocrisy and how they want to toy at the edges of race, but they don't want to really get into it. And so they're going the way of the Whigs. Going the way of the Whigs. Well, I see they got a report out that there were 125 exonerations in 2014 and people released from prison due to DNA and so forth. Well, the person who sent this to me, I'm not going to say the name, but I understand their feeling and hope it gives some people for getting out of prison, but even if it's true, it's not going to happen to people that believe as we believe. Once they get you in there, once they get a racist or a separatist into the prison, they're going to keep them as long as they can, and hopefully they'll get a knife in their gut in prison or die of lack of medical attention. So when they talk about that, you're going to see mostly, Umar Mitch or bad type white people and niggers released. Good white men will not be released. And when I say good, that's men who respect their white race. Well, let's take a little walk into the white swamp of the right wing. You heard it, white swamp, and why they can't win. Officials at Arizona State University probably weren't expecting the full Stormfront treatment when its English department advertised a spring semester class exploring the problem of whiteness. But that's exactly what the university got. The floodgates opened in late January after the ASU journalism student complained on Fox News that the class singled out white people as the root causes of social injustices for this country. Well, there is a certain percentage of them that are, and these were the predatory white capitalists who, you must understand, if you're a white separatist, we are different. And so that should be explained to people when you have a disagreement with them. Say, wait a minute, it wasn't the white poor or the white working class that brought the niggers into the South and onto the plantations. And thus it's been ever since. Neo-Nazi types and white supremacists then reportedly threatened the white professor who was teaching the course, Lee Babow. Now, why should they do that? That's the typical right-wing, plausibly racist groups. They only react. Laugh at the guy. Go into his class and laugh at him. Say, you're funny. That's the way you have to handle these people. Well, don't react to them. They publicly shared his personal contact information and flooded message boards with menacing rants against him. Now, that's what gets you identified as what the progressives, the liberals, say you are. Reacting to everything, you know, like sending threats and all that kind of stuff. That shows you're weak. That shows the right wing of the racist cause are weak. They don't have a sense of humor either. I don't like people who don't have a sense of humor. TPM recently spoke with the leader of the white nationalist group that's leading the charge against the problem of whiteness. Class and effort they have dubbed Operation Bad Teacher. Well, there are a hell of a lot of if you want to start with bad teachers. They're everywhere. The leader of the group, Angelo John Gage, argued that Bebout's course was racist. Well, everybody's got a right to be racist. It's just he is a reverse racist, I guess. And a sign of what he said was the increasing oppression of white people in the U.S. They're not really oppressed. They've got plenty of freedoms to straighten out. There's still enough people, white people, that could straighten out the mess. So to say that the white people in general are oppressed, well, they're screwed right along with everybody else. I mean, you know, even the non-whites on taxes and everything else. He insisted on speaking to TPM via Skype because he said he wasn't comfortable giving his phone number to people he didn't know. Well, there's another thing with the right wing. They come out and say the damnedest things, but then they hide behind, act like they're scared, you know. I've never had a problem giving a reporter or a college professor my phone number. Never have. It's never caused me any problem that I can see. He also insisted his group was not the one behind the threats to the professor, which probably was lying, but maybe I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. And let's see here what else we got on this. Gage is an ex-Marine from New Jersey who chairs the National Youth Front, a youth-oriented arm of the white nationalist organization, the American Freedom Party, and I've heard of none of these people. And just being an ex-Marine doesn't make you tough, doesn't make you brave, doesn't make you anything but an ex-Marine. Just like Army, you know. Some people in the Army or the Marines are gutsy and brave and honest and true, and many of them are absolute assholes. The group used to be known as the American Third Position, or A3P. Well, we went by a little bit of that at one time, American Third Position, but not the same kind of third position, I'm sure. I never heard of them officially even then that had ties to racist and anti-Semitic figures. What does that mean? What figures? Well, maybe it's David Duke. The A3P attempted to be an ultra-nationalist political party that fielded candidates in various elections and ultimately changed its name following the 2012 election. I must have been living in the basement like they talked about, because I don't recall that this party fielding all these candidates. Gage said his group was particularly upset about the whiteness course being taught in Arizona and recently distributed flyers on the ASU's campus targeting Bebow as being anti-white. Well, there's millions of whites that are anti-white and live on white guilt, so what's the big deal? He's not, is he anti-white corporations or predatory white capitalists? Just says he's anti-white. You know, the right wing have a problem separating the problems in the white race. And until they get it straight about the corrupt, moneyed class of the white race that are really doing more harm to them than any black ever did, they're never going to get it straight. We're pressing on the university because what they're doing is completely racist and hypocritical. Well, if you're a racist, sir, what's wrong with them being a racist? You know, that's just the way life goes. He said later, adding that in the spirit of equality, he would expect the school to also offer a blackness problem or a Jewishness problem class. Well, I understand what you're talking about, but the way you're going about it is typically loser right wing. I believe in talking to people like this, and if they're right on some issues, I'll say, well, you're right on that. And if they're wrong, I'll say, you're wrong on that. Well, let's see here. What else did he say? In late January, ASU released a statement appearing to stand behind the course. The statement said the problem of whiteness class would examine how people talk about or avoid talking about it, race in the contemporary United States. Well, that's true. They avoid talking about it. They use code words because they're so goddamn hypocritical. It also defends the course is designed to empower students to confront the difficulty and often thorny issues that surround us today and reach thoughtful conclusions rather than display gut reactions. Well, yeah, that's why I have no problem discussing or debating these things with people from all different kinds of beliefs. I have no problem with that. And I think a lot of times I change their opinion quite a bit. Naturally, Gage's organization, which is probably has its national convention in a telephone booth, and various white supremacist groups didn't view the course in the same light. Well, I'm not a white supremacist group, but they never ask me nothing. Shit. Okay. Well, we all know people use the race card. Yeah, of every race. And it's an agenda to beat down the white population of the country, he told TPM. Well, you can only beat down somebody who's willing to be beat down. If you're not willing to beat down, you stand up and beat somebody else. Quit whining. I hate the right wing whine all the time. Whine, whine, whine. Meh, meh, meh. We're an oppressed majority. Well, you can't be an oppressed majority unless you're goddamn cowards. And, of course, you are. But we're becoming a minority. And that's the concern I have for the future. Maybe, Tommy says, maybe when you become a real minority, you may start reacting and doing it right. Maybe that's the problem. We've been a majority too long. Maybe we need to be a minority out there hiding behind the trees and kicking ass. We all know people... Well, no, wait a minute. This is an interesting article. I hope you're not going to sleep. Whoop. There we go. Gage posted a video to YouTube last week urging his followers to write to the president of the ASU to complain about the course. you know what they do? They like that. If you complain about them and say nasty things about them, it makes their day. Those goddamn racists, they're upset. We've made them upset. We've made them very upset. So that's what we want to do, the other side will say. He told TPM this group is also exploring the legal implications. Legal implications? Good luck. He pointed to TPM to a 2010 Arizona law that banned ethnic studies classes from public and charter K schools, which is currently being challenged in a federal appeals court. The courts are not going to solve the race issue one way or the other. It's going to be things that happen to the people in the country and government oppression, all that kind of stuff. You don't need to wait for some court to make a decision. If that's the law, then they're violating it, Gage said. So the right wing goes to the law and whines. That would make Robert Matthews sick to listen to this crap. The Phoenix New Times newspaper is a real extreme paper, left wing, I'll tell you that. Last week, the Bebout has been getting menacing messages via email and phone. Oh, my God. Since his course rose to national attention. Well, nobody ever got excited when I was getting 24/7 death threats on my telephone. I mean, I wouldn't even waste my time calling the police or the telephone company because they're not going to do anything anyhow, so I used to just laugh at them. I used to joke with them. I used to make them furious because they couldn't make me mad. Obviously, some people have already tried to speak to this guy. Whatever happened with them, I don't know, he told TPM. Ask later whether he or any member of the National Youth Front, sounds like a big-ass deal, don't it, has made a threat towards Bebout, Gage said. Absolutely not. Well, we do know there's a lot of habitual liars in the right that will do things and send things to people and then deny they did it, which is ridiculous. If you got a real problem with somebody, you go right up, knock on the door, and punch them in the nose. You don't fuck around. No one in my group has done so, he told TPM in an email. We are a nonviolent group. I hate that when a right-winger says we're a nonviolent group and then he pays taxes to send thousands of white Americans over the Middle East and kill the shit out of everything they see. We're a nonviolent group. You know, that I could a nigger on the street going to laugh his ass off when they say that. Well, I'm not nonviolent. I just don't have a particular reason to be violent right at the moment. But when it comes to my protecting myself and my family and my group, I can get extremely violent. I don't want to get extremely violent, but to declare ahead of time that you're a nonviolent group, you're kidding yourself. Nobody believes it because it's out of these groups where the guys come from who go around killing people. Everyone that's in the last 20 years that from the racial right has killed, they come from an organization. They were members of something. I don't see a big plague of lone wolves killing anybody. This issue has been floating around many pro-white sites, so I would assume if these threats even exist, that they're coming from those who have an extremist point of view, not us. Well, if you don't have an extremist point of view, what the fuck are you doing, buddy? Why are you involved? I'm an extremist. Of course I'm an extremist. When things get so bad, you got to be extreme. I am not a conservative. I'm not a mild-mannered, nonviolent person. Yeah. These guys, they're not extremists. You're not going to get your country back or save your race by being non-extremist. Even the Republican Party had the balls through Barry Goldwater to say that. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. I remember sitting in front of the television watching it. Gage was also upset about the video featuring a PhD student and a faculty associate as ASU named Robert Poe, who held an informal teach-in event at the ASU's campus earlier this month to respond to criticism of the problem of whiteness course. I wouldn't worry about it, boys. These guys are all over the place. They're in control of these, you know, the rich people of this country have let the progressives spoiled little kids run the university. In a video posted on YouTube by a user named Race Politics, Poe was asked during the teach-in whether he advocated violence against racists. He responded, "I advocate violence against racists who choose to politically mobilize." Oh, okay. Thanks for warning us. We'll be ready. I think we have a decent historical precedent for that. So, he is an extremist. That guy's an extremist, man. He's an extremist. That's what he said. And that's good. I like that. I wish they would mobilize to be violent against our friends. Me too. Yeah. That would get some of these right-wingers off their ass and into the field instead of whining in their basement. So, come on, boy. I've been down that road before. We used to have riots all the time in California. We never started them. We just going to have our say and give a speech, and they'd come around, and we'd beat on them, and sometimes they'd beat on us. But most of the time, we beat on them. In an interview with the Phoenix Times, Poe pointed to the U.S. military intervention against the Nazis during World War II as a historical precedent for violence against racists. Boy, that's a stretch. How about all the violence you did against the German people? The people who weren't Nazis, who were bombed and killed and raped. He also told a newspaper that ASU staff questioned him about the teach-in after receiving complaints about the YouTube video, which made the rounds on white nationalist websites. Well, that leaves me out. I'm not a white nationalist. Nope. I'm for whites worldwide. Poe did not respond to multiple requests for comment from TPM via email. Gage explained that he learned from his time in the military to go to the person highest up in the chain of command with concerns. To that end, he decided to direct the National Youth Front's email campaign at the U.S. ASU President Michael Crow. Boy, we show him, man. It's more effective when the president's annoyed to death with something being shown. Look, one of your professors is advocating violence against white nationalists or whatever groups want to advocate white interests, which is insane. No, I don't think it's insane. If you hate somebody really badly, you should advocate whatever. I mean, left, right, liberal, conservative, whatever. I believe in the freedom to advocate whatever. So you want to come after me? Come on after me. You may be able to kill me. Or not. Gage said he couldn't be sure whether National Youth Front members attend the teach-in, but he applauded the YouTube user who needled Poe at the event. Quote, "I know there's a video going around, and I'm not sure our people did it or not," he told TPM. "It could be, for all I know. I hope it is. That's good." Yeah. See, this is like a couple of little kids fighting on the playground. They don't know any better because that's all the people in the Republican and Democrat Party do. They're not controlling shit. They're just yapping their mouth. It goes right down the line all the way down to, you know, these websites, so-called white nationalists that go on and on and on. And everybody makes their little comment. And none of these people and none of us have any power. I mean, we have some power, but only if we want to risk our lives to enforce it. The real people are only the 1 or 2% of this country that sit back and laugh at all this shit. Say, look at those dumbass right-wing racists out there. They go down there and get that man who wrote that book. Who gives a shit? Do you think that my philosophy of race is so thin that I worry about some fuckhead professor or somebody's wrote a book or gets out on a corner and said, we've got to get violent against those races? No, the people on the left, I shouldn't use left or right, but the people on the other side, the race mixers, they're, of course, are just as nuts as the on the right wing, you know. And most of those people on the right wing, when I tell them what for, in my opinion, they attack me. I don't give a shit if the right wing attacks me. Makes no never mind at all. So, there you go, boys and girls. Get on out there and get those damn people at the university that are saying nasty things about white people and nonviolent white races. Yeah, that's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow on Tears Day. Yeah, 14-5. And come on, boys over there that don't like racists, I'm here. You know right where I'm at. Come on.
But you have no right to call me a murderer. You have a right to kill me. You have a right to do that. But you have no right to judge me. It's impossible for words to describe what is necessary to those who do not know.
I'm a soldier. You're an errand boy.